Victoria Timpo and Kirsten Pickup, welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Victoria, let me have you start us off by saying a bit about your own family background, your parents' story, and maybe some of your own experiences growing up as the daughter of first-generation immigrants in the U.S.
My parents are from Ghana, and they immigrated to the country about 30 years ago. So growing up, it took a while for me to kind of understand and relate to my culture, being separated and feeling like very much an American. It wasn't until I went on a family trip to Ghana with my family when I was 10 that I kind of understood that my family isn't from here, that I have a separate family that I've never met.
So this is a multicultural sensitivity that you bring to this project here, this current project, Interweaving Traditions, Bookbinding Across Cultures. Explain what this venture is and how it came to be.
Well, growing up, I felt disconnected from my culture in a lot of ways and almost embarrassed and ashamed of being different. And it wasn't until I became an artist and started to paint that I kind of grew confidence and really understood where I came from. So I wanted to kind of encourage other people who may be going through similar situations to have outlets to express themselves and to be proud of where they come from. Oftentimes when you're younger, you want to fit in and not be different and forget about any cultural difference that there may be. And I think that is really beautiful when you take a minute to just think about your life and your experiences and how that makes you who you are.
Kirsten, I want to welcome you into the conversation here. You're the coordinator at BCCC's Refugee Youth Project. First, in a few words, just say a bit about your organization and its mission.
Sure. So RYP, the Refugee Youth Project, is managed by Baltimore City Community College, and our mission really is to support the needs of incoming newcomers who are refugees here in Baltimore through providing extra academic, emotional, and social support. And we do that through running 4 to 5 different after-school programs. We have a large mentoring program. We provide homework help, tutoring, and also have a large community arts program.
So Kirsten, one day, out of the blue, Victoria comes up to you and says, hey, I'm working on my MFA in curatorial practice at MICA, and I have this idea. What does she say to you, and what do you think about the idea?
Conveniently, I'm also a MICA grad, so I have a love and appreciation for the arts, and I feel like interweaving art at the Refugee Youth Project is a really natural fit for us. We know how important it is to use art as a tool to promote social and cultural change, and we really use that to tackle a lot of tough issues like Victoria's talking about in her project. So for us, it was a really great fit. We love when students get to learn a new tool that could help them, and we thought this was a great opportunity for them.
They're creating their own books. The books that these young refugees are putting together are going to be unveiled to the public in an upcoming exhibition at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. It'll feature handmade books by young people from all over the place, right? Bhutan, Nepal, Eritrea, Ethiopia, and the Congo. And you guys, I wonder if you might step in here in the way of explaining in a general way some of the backgrounds that some of these young people have come here to this country from.
Sure. Some of our students, especially the ones coming from Bhutan, it's more than likely that they've lived their entire life in a refugee camp. Some others are coming from very war-torn backgrounds where they might have lived in a refugee camp for 5 or 6 years. Others have grown up in an urban environment where they've had education and access to schools. Some haven't had any education. Some have had interrupted education. It really varies family to family. And even though we have large groups in Baltimore from Bhutan, Eritrea, Ethiopia, the Congo, Iraq, and Burma, each individual story can be completely different. So for us, it's important not to generalize the country they're coming from. There's certain things that may apply to most kids coming from those countries, but every story is very unique.
So these books that these students have created, these books are of various styles, accordion pull-out books, books that are in a sense boxes and books at the same time. They're beautiful art objects. But the stories that go in them, talk to me about these sessions. You've been working with these various students for something of an extended period of time in their various sessions. I wonder what they were interested in sharing and what they were interested in keeping to themselves.
It took a while for me to gain their trust or for them to even feel comfortable talking to me. And so right now, I think after this time, it has gotten to a level where they can openly talk to each other and to me about, you know, their day or any frustrations or anything like that. But it's not about them talking about who they are. It's more about informal conversation that happens sporadically through their own conversations with each other. Like if I ask them, tell me about your culture, they'll say, what do you mean? What about my culture? So I have to have very specific visual representations that shows what I'm talking about. So I can bring a book that has a poem or like a 3-sentence line that says, my culture is important to me because, and then they can fill in one word describing how their culture is important to them, to pull from them information that could be used for their books.
Kirsten Pickup, as coordinator at Refugee Youth Project, what do you think about what you're hearing from Victoria? Is this common for young immigrants, young refugees? I mean, teenagers by nature are not necessarily that talkative about themselves. Is it tough for these kids to get back in touch with, you know, where they came from after they've been here a year or two? Is that, are they interested in closing the book, so to speak, on that chapter of their lives?
I don't think they're ever interested in closing the book. I think it's important to educate and make them aware of how powerful their stories and their journeys are and what a tool that can be for other people, especially here in Baltimore. There's not a lot of understanding that might happen between cultures, whether that's African-American populations and some of our African refugees. And I think creating a space for them to talk about and explore the commonalities within their journeys, even though they're all very different, I think is really important to give them that opportunity. That being said, I also know how personal these stories are to them. And one student that I know said that every time I tell my personal story, it becomes less and less meaningful to myself. And so I think there's two ways to look at it. It is this amazing educational tool, but I also know how personal they are and know what it would take for someone to really share that with others. And I think it depends on the individual student. We've had some students who have done storytelling classes and been able to get up and share their stories in front of large audiences. And then we have others who don't want to talk about it. And I think it really depends on the level of the trauma they've gone through or what experience they've had and just the individual person.
Yeah, and I think I definitely have to take that into account, the different levels of experiences and the different levels of trauma, because I don't have to dictate one way to make a book or one way to tell your story. I can kind of leave it up to the student to put whatever they feel comfortable to put inside the book. So there's different levels of storytelling in it. There's different levels of pictures or words or, you know, whatever they feel like putting inside the books. And I think that's okay. It doesn't have to be a chapter. It doesn't have to be a full drawing. But whatever they feel represents who they are or what they're feeling at that moment is important to me.
So here you have this group of young people from all these various backgrounds. They're all going to be brought together in this museum exhibition of their books at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. There's going to be a big opening reception, and a lot of these young artists are going to be there. What do you think this night is going to be like for them? What's it going to mean to them?
Well, I really just want it to be fun, and I want them to be a part of the process. So I've invited some of the students to perform during the reception their own cultural dances, to kind of share their experiences and cultures with the Baltimore community. But I also think that it should be educational. I would like whoever comes to the exhibition to understand or learn a little bit about a refugee student, and also to learn about these different cultures and countries where the students are from. So I want it to be a cultural exchange, and I also want it to be fun. I want it to be celebratory. I want it to be, you know, an experience.
Victoria Timpo is an MFA candidate in curatorial practice at MICA, and Kirsten Pickup is coordinator at BCCC's Refugee Youth Project. They've been talking with us today about the upcoming exhibition, Interweaving Traditions, Bookbinding Across Cultures. It'll open at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum on April 23rd, and there will be a big opening reception on the evening of April 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. And you can find more information online at rflewismuseum.org. And Victoria Timpo and Kirsten Pickup, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
For The Signal, I'm Aaron Henkin.
You're listening to The Signal, an original production of Your Public Radio in Baltimore.